Good morning and welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us here today for the offering of this Mass on the second Sunday of Lent. I'll share with you some information about one of our parish families. Joyce Ellington, a member of our parish, died early on Friday at the age of 80 after a long illness. And there'll be a funeral Mass for her at the Madeleine Tuesday morning at 10. So our condolences to her family. She was the mother of Royce Ellington, our head of our parish council. So our condolences to all, particularly her family that are with us here today. We lift her up in prayer that she will be numbered among the saints in Christ, and consolation and peace be given to her family and friends. Eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon her. May her soul and the souls of all the faithful departed, to the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. For our guests, please know that you're always welcomed here, and not only on Sundays, you're welcome to take part in our Lenten events, whether it's our Tuesday talks or our Friday evening activities as well, all the stuff that's listed in the bulletin, and also our children and youth activities of this week for spring break, even though it's not apparently going to feel much like spring for the next few days. But all the children are welcomed nonetheless. We are an active parish. We have many things going on. We have sign-ups for the different parish organizations and activities in the vestibule of the church. And also, please know that the Oklahoma Catholic Men's Conference in Norman is set for Saturday, April the 1st. We have a group that are going from this parish. I'll be one of them. If you want more information about that, please talk to me after the Mass. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. This event in the Gospels, known as the Transfiguration, greets us today on this second Sunday of Lent. And I would think it pretty easily fits into the criteria of what, to use a modern phrase, as a God moment. A God moment we usually define as an experience of being in the presence of God, often characterized by the experience of peace, of mercy, spiritual insight, forgiveness, or grace. It is almost always unexpected and can take place in a multiple ways, sometimes through formal prayer, and sometimes through ordinary moments of daily life. The Transfiguration, however, seems to be anything but ordinary. It is a moment of the revealing of the divinity of Jesus as God the Son, fulfilling the promises that God has made through the Ten Commandments, and that's represented by the figure of Moses, and the prophets of the Old Testament, personified by Elijah the prophet. The true identity of Jesus in the incarnation, the Word of God in human flesh, is revealed on that mountaintop. And for a brief moment, there's a glimpse of heaven. That's what's offered. A God moment indeed. I think all of us, in ways large and small, have had a God moment, or we will. That experience of the presence of God in one form or another. And one of the more memorable experiences that I've had, was blessed with, took place nearly 30 years ago. And I have to admit, in that moment, there was no voice from a cloud speaking. There were no clouds white as light or face shining like the sun, but it was memorable nonetheless. What happened was that I was in the seminary, I think it was my second year at a seminary college in Missouri. And one evening I had an overwhelming urge to go to the seminary chapel. And I did. And there I knelt down before the tabernacle, before Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament. I don't know if I was there for 10 minutes or if I was there for 2 hours and 10 minutes. Time was suspended. And I offered no words of prayer. There was no petition. No devotion was offered. It was in silence. I was before Jesus, my brother, in the Blessed Sacrament. In simple adoration, I was in the presence of the divine. It was a profound experience of peace. And afterwards, some of my classmates saw me. I was going back to my room, and they said that my face was as if it was glowing. It was a good-to-be-there moment. Now, more than 5 years before, I had given my assent, my yes, in a profession of faith when I entered the Catholic Church. It was my belief in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist that had led me into the Church in the first place. I believed, yes, and I could quote Scripture, chapter and verse, about the real presence. I could quote the Catechism on the same subject. But it was in that God moment, 5 years later, that I had that experience that touched me at a much deeper level than an intellectual assent of faith. Another example of a God moment is from Sister Teresa Aletha Noble. She spoke here at the Madeleine a year ago this month. She is a religious. She's a member of the Daughters of St. Paul. And some of you know her story. She was raised in Tulsa as a Catholic, attended St. Mary's Parish, also attended Catholic schools, and at the age of 14, concluded that there was no God. All this Jesus and church stuff was no more than a well-meaning fairy tale, and she became an atheist and lived according to her own design, as St. Paul might put it today. Her God moment came more than 10 years later. It was not in a church, as mine was, but it took place when she was working and living in Costa Rica. And one morning she was walking outdoors, and she was suddenly and unexpectedly struck by the ordinary yet the profound beauty of creation. And in that moment of insight and of wonder, she experienced the presence of God, touched at a level I believe is as deep as my moment before the Blessed Sacrament. And that moment led her back to her Catholic faith and then later led her into a religious vocation. Now, I have had some other God moments, but none of them on par with the one of nearly 30 years past. Is there going to be another one? I don't know. You know, these events are unexpected, and you can't exactly schedule them into your day planner. You can't put them into your calendar app on your smartphone, such as a life-changing encounter with the living God next Tuesday, 3:15 p.m. at office. You know, that doesn't work that way. I would that it did. I don't know if I'll ever have any other experience such as that one. If it's the only moment, if it's the only such gift that God offers, I pray that it will be enough and it will have the effect that God intends. For the most important part of a God moment, whether it is large or small, is not when it happens, how it happens, or how many times they happen. The most important part is that what happens next. Do we allow these experiences to direct our lives? The voice of God coming from the cloud on the mountaintop of the Transfiguration cries out, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Do we? Do we listen, especially after these God moments? Do we allow that moment to transform us as God intends? Today we also hear about the Genesis, the book of Genesis, about the man known as Abram, later known as Abraham. He has his God moment as well. "I will make of you a great nation," the voice of God proclaims. Now Abram is not a political leader. He's not a king. He's not an emperor. He's not a general. He's a nomad. He's a shepherd, along with his wife Sarai, who's later known as Sarah. And they move their livestock from place to place, beginning in modern-day Iraq. And this God moment takes place in the book of Genesis after the fall from grace, after the original sin that we heard of last Sunday. It comes after the chaos to creation that the sin unleashes. The man and woman are estranged from one another. They are estranged from God. They are estranged from their children. They are estranged from creation. But through Abram, God will restore order to creation by means of Jesus, the incarnate Word, some 1,500 years later. And we are told, Abram went as the Lord directed him. That's the purpose of a God moment. To go as the Lord directs us, listening with an open heart. It means living according to that divine design and grace given us in Christ Jesus, as Paul states. The 40 days of Lent is for us as disciples a time of intensified prayer, of fasting, of acts of charity and mercy. And we're challenged to see that we are to carry them out not simply out of habit or out of custom, out of ritual, but in response to the God moments. The unexpected experience of God in the ordinary, as it was with Sister Teresa, or the extraordinary. And there are other ways as well. Do we see our act of worship and praise in this Mass as a God moment? Meaning of being touched by the experience of the divine, or at least having the desire to be touched. And by the way, thank you for remembering to set your clocks ahead an hour last night and being here. You know what follows after the recessional hymn on a Sunday like this? The people who forgot to set their clocks ahead. That's what arrives after the closing. A little bit of church humor there. But do we see that in the repenting from and confessing of our sins, of seeking and sharing mercy and forgiveness, do we see these as God moments? Of being in the presence of God. Do we allow then the Lord to use them to direct us, living not by our own plan, but by God's? Peter, James, and John will have other God moments after the Transfiguration. There will be the Lord's Supper with the experience of the Eucharist. There will be the crucifixion with the experience of the cross. And then there will be the ultimate God moment, the resurrection. Directing them to share the experience of the risen Christ with others. That's their mission and ours as well. The God moments are about our transfiguration. Our God moments tell us our true identity as beloved sons and daughters of God through Jesus, the Word made flesh. That is what is revealed. Our transfiguration is then to seek to live not according to our plan, but according to the death and resurrection of Jesus, who destroys death, brings life and immortality to light. Through Him, all of creation is transformed. It is not just a glimpse of heaven that is offered to us. It's heaven itself. That's what the Transfiguration reveals. The days leading to Holy Week and Easter that are Lent is our time of deepening our conversion, of renewing our discipleship. May we recognize and act upon the God moments, large and small, to live as disciples directed by the Lord.